A little information. If you're wondering where the guitar player is, he's helping another church out. So that's what he's doing, and he'll be back with us in just a few weeks. He wanted, ask us if he could do that, and we said, sure. And if you sit up or you look at me and you're like, he's texting, you're right, I was texting Scott. So if you ever see me on my phone, it's not like I'm just like saying, Scott, is it hot in here? We need to turn the air on or whatever. So just know that's, I don't know, does anybody else need, I was warm. I'm just seeing people, like, yes, my people, thank you. Well, it's getting closer to election day, so I hope you're ready to vote Bible and get ready to go out and do what God wants you to do. Isn't that great to have freedom in America, to be able to do that? We also have I just turned off my thing, isn't that nice? We also have a ballot box out there, just a guide that will help you to know where the candidates stand and what to line up with the word. So that's out there for your family. And so if you would, just take one per family. That way we have plenty to go around. We're going to do announcements at the end of service. And the man you saw put this pulpit up here, he's going to give them. Ron Clayton is away on his birthday, and we wish him the best birthday ever. Ron's just an incredible guy. So we couldn't be doing what we do without his help and doing all of what he's done over the years. So I appreciate you, Ron. Thank you so much. Let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you. John, the guitar player, he sent me this before I came out, and so just so that you know. Went to an archaeology party the other night. We were looking for all the pieces to a lower leg. You could say it was quite a shindig. John, even though you're not here, you're still here. Bless your heart. Anyways, we've been talking about the listening ear, and we need to hear God's voice. And in this world that's screaming loud, we need to be able to hear the voice of God, or we miss out on so much. Let me give you just a quick example. Do you know that God talks? We talked about it, and we'll cover it again, in a still, small voice. He was trying to tell me today, we're 7 miles from the church. It's wonderful. We're like, yes. Because if I would have done this and lived where we lived before, you'd have got memory preaching. And that could be good, depending on how my memory is. It's good. Just saying that. But anyway, he was trying to tell me, you forgot your iPad. Forgot your iPad. This is what I told the Lord. No, I didn't. Isn't that great to correct God? It never works out, really, does it? I'm like, I put stuff in Kim's car. I know I put it in there. He said, you forgot your iPad. I'm like, I got it. We got to church. I told Maddie. I said, listen, I got to go to mom's car. I got to get my iPad out there. Go there. It's not there. I'm like, I forgot my iPad. You know the Holy Spirit doesn't do like us humans do. Told you. But he probably wanted to real bad. I guess he probably could. But I'm only 7 miles, so I ran back home and got it. But we need to hear him. Because sometimes we predetermine how God's going to say something to us. And we'll miss it. What if he does it some way else? I mean, they expected the Messiah to come, in some other way. But he came on a donkey through the crowd. I mean, they didn't expect that. And he came to earth born of a virgin. They didn't expect that. What if God wants to say something to you? Maybe he's been speaking and you've not been listening. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man who walks and directs his own steps. Just like I said about voting, you live in America, you can vote how you want because it's a free nation. Isn't that great? You can choose to follow God or not. You can choose to listen or not. You can go your own way. Or not. But it's your choice. It's not wise to really go your own way. We need to hear God's voice. We need to be led by God. We need his wisdom. And we have established in this series so far, this is week 6, that he wants to talk to us. Each one of us. We talked about last week, John 10:2-3. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And I did an illustration, if you remember, and Ron helped me out. And I blindfolded him and told him just to listen to my voice. And I had him do some steps and turn around, and he couldn't see, and he had to listen to my direction. And then I went back and had somebody else say something to him, and close to my voice, but not my voice. And he did what they said. And that's no slap against Ron, because I think many of us have all, you know, how many times, oh, I miss God. Have you? I have. Because we have to know his voice. We have to be able to hear it and discern, hey, that was God and that wasn't. It's God wants to have a personal relationship, not a general one, one specific to you. Now, when we say that he wants that relationship, that's kind of a broad meaning, I understand. But he, you know, he doesn't want anybody to murder or steal, commit adultery. He doesn't want any of that. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. He's all-knowing, we understand. But he's speaking to everybody, at the same time speaking to you individually. Isn't that amazing? There could be this room that's full of people right now. You could hear God and say, I know the Lord's telling me this. And you know it's the Lord. Somebody just two chairs over could be saying, man, God spoke to me and this is what he's telling me. And it's God too. But he is telling you something personally that you are taking and you know what to do with it. Somebody else might, that's not what they're dealing with. So God's not talking to them like that. Isn't he amazing? He knows everything about you. But remember, you have to seek it. It doesn't happen automatically. He won't force himself on you. He has to be invited. He has always got something to tell you. But you have to pursue it. You have to tune into the frequency, if you will. When I was a kid, we had transistor radios. Anybody remember? They probably still make them, I guess. But you know, turn into the frequency, and on my radio, I remember attaching it to my bike basket until I wrecked my bike, smashed my radio, never got another one. But anyways, you know, I'd be in certain areas, and then I couldn't hear whatever I was trying to tune in, and then you'd have to, sometimes I'd stop, and I'd try to, you know, get it. You have to tune into the Lord. You're going to have to seek him. We talked about we needed knowledge. Remember that. We needed quiet time or downtime to be still. Many of us don't like being still. It's hard sometimes to be still. It's the quietness is almost deafening. You know what it's like? How many parents in here have had an empty house now that your kids are gone? Isn't that weird? I mean, our kids moved out. We still have Maddie. That's not deafening. But we still, I mean, when Sam and Mal and Zach moved out, it was like, I mean, I went to their room, looked in the room, and like their stuff is, most of it's gone. They took it, obviously. But it was like, oh, it's a new season. It was hard. And it's kind of like, you know, Kim and I, we always operated with the kids in between. We still operated together, but still it was always like, you know, they would, kids play you, mom against dad or dad against mom, you know. And so we would just, you know, if you're a smart dad, a husband, ask your mother. That'll preach just right there. Ask your mother. But getting to back to just saying, all right, that's the problem with cell phones. Here, honey, it's Sam.
Is this part of your sermon?
No.
Okay.
No, I just because he knows when service is, so I can't imagine him calling me, so you might want to check. I mean, that's happened before, and it was Mom. I thought, what's she calling me now for? But my rear end was lighting up there. I don't know. So just being quiet and listening for the Lord. We talked last week that God speaks to us. We talked about this, spirit to spirit. That was huge, spirit to spirit. Your born again spirit has the mind of Christ in it. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, the Bible says, the mind of Christ. I'm not talking about your brain. I'm talking about your spirit, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Your born-again spirit has a mind in it, and it is the mind of Christ. If you are saved, you have the mind of Christ, and it has been renewed in knowledge. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Whoo. Your spirit does, because it's the spirit of Jesus. That's not true in your brain. I've met some saved Christians, doesn't matter whether they're saved or not. They're like, something ain't functioning right. But your born again spirit is connected with God and knows all things. It has the mind of Christ. Everything Jesus knows, your born again spirit knows. Now, some of you are like, I'm just saying, I didn't come here just to give you mashed potatoes and gravy. I want you to understand what the Bible is saying. You are more than a conqueror. Why is that? Because my spirit is connected to the conqueror. And he's never been defeated. When I'm seeking wisdom on a certain issue or a mountain I'm facing, the most dominant way that God is going to talk to me is through my spirit. Because Jesus and my born-again spirit are one. Listen how quiet that is. But I'm giving you truth. When you got born again, you have the Spirit of God. We just read the scripture. I didn't write that. It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That word one doesn't mean similar. It doesn't mean comparable. You know what it means? Identical. That's what it means. So your spirit, your born-again spirit, is identical to Jesus. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. It starts making the Bible go, now I'm starting to get it. That's why I'm joint heirs with Christ. That's why I can say, Abba, Father. You have had Jesus imparted unto you. You are the hands and feet of Jesus walking the earth today. You're not God. I'm not trying to say we are God. I'm just saying his spirit is in you. Jesus said, you see me do these things, you're going to do greater. Romans 8:9, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So you have, if you're born again, you have his spirit. You're saved, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. And that Spirit has the mind of Christ. It's been renewed in knowledge and has an unction from the Holy One. They used to say that back in, I got an unction. We don't say that much anymore, but that's an impression, a leading by the Lord in your spirit to know something that, like, how do I know that? I mean, I was in Walmart one day, and I looked over and I saw a guy, he didn't see me, and the Lord put this in my spirit. He's going to come over to you, and he's going to ask you for money, and he's going to tell you he's hypoglycemic. I wouldn't make that up. I mean, that's not something, I think he's hypoglycemic. Yep, he's going to need 50 cents too, I can tell. I mean, I didn't even think that. That guy was talking to somebody, wasn't even looking at me, turned around, walked right over to me and said, hey, do you have 50 cents I can borrow? I'm hypoglycemic. How would I know that? An unction. A knowing, an impression of my spirit, because Jesus and my spirit are connected. So the knowledge is there. It's already provided for you. Everybody say, but. You have to ask, seek, and knock to open it and find out. You have to walk with him. You have to say, God, I need your help. I need to hear what you want me to do. It doesn't, listen to this. It doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. God is in communion with your born-again spirit, and you will just know things. There's times I remember he put me on a fast, and there was another fellow that said he was fasting, and when he walked in, the Lord specifically said he's not fasting. Because I had went 21 days with no food and just water, and I'd lost about 35 to 40 pounds. Fasting is not fun. If you just fast with water, that's even less fun. But you know, I was doing whatever he told me to do, and that dude was like, oh, man. I feel great. I haven't eaten anything for the same amount of time. And the Lord said, he's not fasting. And that became evident later on. It was in my knower. I didn't have to confront him on it. I just knew that God was going to deal with it. Let me explain a little bit more. Kim and I have been married for 39 years. Told you my memory was good. That's right. You online, you see that? 39 years. So we know each other. So it's kind of like you've been together for a long time. I can be talking, and she could probably finish my sentences. If I have a headache, she could take you just know each other. She could give me a look, or I could give her a look. We don't even have to say anything, and I could know something's wrong or this or that or whatever because we just know things because we've spent time together. Not to make it weird or not scriptural, but when you walk with God and you yield to the Spirit that's connected to you, His Spirit, you'll just know things. He communicates with your spirit. Not really as much as words, but maybe impressions. And you'll just go, oh. Sometimes you'll feel impressed. I go this way all the way home from work. I just feel like I need to go another way. Why is that? Listen. Sometimes you avoid an accident, and He's trying to protect you. Sometimes you're in a hurry, like I was going to get my iPad today. Two trains on the way here. Fun. How do we have trains in Marion? Marion is surrounded by train tracks, but you all know that. But when I ask God for wisdom, most of the time He doesn't just say, like, Brett. I mean, here is what you do. I don't hear it like that. He communicates, listen to me, I'm just trying to make this as easy as I can. It's not that He can't. I've heard Him audibly, but that doesn't happen that much. He communicates in my spirit with what I'm supposed to do. So I get that impression or an unction. I almost hesitate to say feeling, but just so that you understand what I'm talking about. I may hear in my spirit one word. Sometimes He'll say sentences. And it's like I'm talking to Him, and I get it. But I'm going to give you an example. This just happened like last week. This is what I heard in my spirit. Car. Okay. Maddie had lost her keys. She had been in my car. And she was upset because in her key ring and her was her bank card, her ID and everything. And she's like, I can't find it. I'm like, okay, well, this is what my mom would say if I lost something. Well, it must be somewhere. Oh, thank you, Yoda. Somewhere it is. So, I said, well, where did you have it last? And she said, I had it here. I said, in the house. Yes, yes, it's in the house. I said, did you? Because we were at Walmart, and I think we were out of state, weren't we? We'd been to Wally World or Walmart. And I'm like, did you have it in the store? Yes, I had it in the store. Did you have it when we got in the car? Yes. Did you have it when we got back to the vacation house? Yes. Yes, I had it in here. And so, we're out of state. All her money's tied to that. Everything. And so we started looking. Justin went out, looked in the car. Maddie looked in the car. And I'm like, okay, Lord. Now listen. I'm just being as practical as I can. We need to find her keys. Where are her keys? I called Walmart. That seemed like a logical thing. This is before I ask him, just so you know. And they're like, thanks for calling Walmart. Hey, did anybody leave? Did you find any keys on a key ring? We did find some keys with France. I said, Maddie, did you have France on your keys? She goes, no. Those are not the keys. Sorry. Okay. So, it's just getting higher and higher in the... So I just said, okay, Lord, I don't know where these keys are. I've done everything in my five senses that I know to do. See, sometimes we should probably just go to God first instead of trying everything we know how to do. I could have saved myself a lot of time. And all he said, as soon as I asked him, I mean, I just listened to me, just got quiet and just got still. And the still small voice, my spirit and his spirit connected. And he said, car. I said, Maddie, did you look in the car? I did. He said it again, car. Okay. So I went out to my car and I looked. I don't see anything, but I'm feeling the same thing, the unction, the impression. Car, it's in here. So I look under the seat and way back, jammed between the seat and the other seat that folds down or comes up, I see a little bit of brown. I'm like, all right. Pull that up, there's her keys. So I said, did you have men here? They were in the house. Car. Well, I thought they were in the house. I get that, because that's the last place she remembers seeing him, or at least she thought she did. But if we just listen, that unction, her keys were smashed behind the seat. Now, if I was waiting on God to say in third person, Brett, this is God, the keys are in the car. Go find them right now. I'd be waiting probably for a little while. I'm not saying he couldn't do that, I'm just saying. So if I'm focused on the way I think he should tell me, I'm going to miss it. Just like I missed my iPad today. You left your iPad. No, I didn't. Your keys are in the car. No, they're not. Listen to what he's saying. If nothing else, it's school. You know, no damage was done besides me running late and hitting two trains. Then I get to work on patience, because I'm trying to make it back by the morning huddle. But I'll miss it if I'm just looking for my way I think he's going to speak. He could use somebody else. Remember, God is working from the inside out, not the outside in. Jesus doesn't live on my outside. He lives on my inside. My spirit and his spirit are one. They are identical. That wisdom and knowledge is departed to me from God, by God. So let me ask you this, because I had to put this in there. How do you know it's from God? How do you know, hey, is that what I just heard or what I thought I heard? Is that truly from God? Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Just know, that doesn't mean you can have everything you want. I had a guy I knew one time, he walked up to it was a Cadillac. He was ministering in a meeting, and he said, Father, I want this car in Jesus' name. It's not his car. That's coveting somebody else's car. God's never going to go against his word. Now, you could get a Cadillac. I mean, they make them. And maybe God would have that guy give you his car, but just to do it like, if I desire it, you know, more grapes, come on, let's have grapes. And, you know, that doesn't happen like that. If you want a $1 million home or you want something like that, could God do that? Well, yeah, he could. But you have to be able to have the faith to keep it up. I just love that person. Well, they're married. Love somebody else. You know what I'm saying? You have, just because you desire it, we got to make sure it's in check. Let's do this. What if Shaq, the basketball guy, wanted to be a horse jockey? Poor horse. That's not going to happen. I mean, I think he'd even make a Clydesdale look small, but I mean, he's a big man. Our desires they have to line up with the Word of God. Delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says. What happens if God gives you his desires in your heart? Why? Because your own desires might not be good or might not be God. And when we delight ourselves in the Lord, does he not know best? And what he wants, I mean, he might have, well, I can tell you, he has something better for you than what you think, better than you could ask or think. Where we're living now is proof of that. Will he put desires in your heart? Sure he will, because he has plans for you. Most of us that have walked with the Lord for any time have experienced this. You wanted to do something, and on the way, your mind got changed. Your heart got changed. When I went to college, most people, the average, most person, I forget what the average was now, but most people changed their major two or three times. They went into college going to do this, and before they left, they were going to do this or this. When I met Kim, I had a specific plan. I had managed a fitness center. I was on my way. I was competing professionally in bodybuilding. I was doing some stuff, and people were paying my way to go to contests. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm on my way. So I told, all she knew was I was going to be Mr. America by the time I was 30. So I was going to, you know, let's go. You know, let's do all that. Well, then I met Kim, and then I had this encounter with God. And just from that, without going into detail, everything changed. Because why? He changes you from the inside out. My viewpoint changed. My perspective changed. The friends I hung out with changed. My mindset changed. Help me, somebody. When God starts putting things in there and you start, okay, I see this different now. I start having his desires and not mine. The other ones didn't seem fulfilling. And the ones that he wanted me to do were like, I got to do that. And he will show you what you're supposed to do. The qualification, delight yourself in the Lord. If you're not truly delighted in him, then you'll find out you're living more for your flesh or for the carnal side. So see if you have desires and they're grounded or founded on godly things and principles. See if you're totally committed to God in his ways. Is he first place in your life? And if so, and you are putting that in practice, you can trust and know that he's going to tell you, and you're going to feel that impression. You're going to hear him talk to you, because again, your spirit and Jesus are one, and they're identical. And God will even bring confirmation. You'll believe him for something, and you'll get confirmed on it, and you'll be like, yep, I'm following God. I knew that, man, that's awesome. So his desires become my desires. I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. I was motivated. And now that's part of our story. It's part of our journey. This is what we've done before, and it's what I've done. I've been guilty. I've tried to squeeze God into my plans. You know, I give God the first whatever of every day instead of all day just talking to him. You know, I want to be like that guy Andy in the Bible. Andy walked with me and talked with me. But I want to hear God. I just in about everything. Well, God, I'm going to the store, man. This is going to be awesome. Keep me safe. Every time we leave our house, we plead blood. We ask, you know, thanks for safety and keep our, you know, it's just something we do. So right now, as far as I was determined, as I was following God, I was asking him. I wasn't saying, come along for the ride. What do you want me to do? I was kind of in his car now. And although it seems like I'm driving, I get to make those choices of how I want to do that. God became my GPS. It wasn't Google. I'd rather go by the God protective system. God, what do I do? How do you want me to do that? When he guides, he provides. So following him, my born-again spirit, is following the Lord. Because we are one in spirit. And he speaks, remember, spirit to spirit. So many times it seems like sometimes we God will tell us something, and after what we think, well, it's our idea. Or it's maybe, can that be God? So how do we know? How do you judge that? If you're not saved, you really can't judge it because you don't have God's Spirit connecting with you. So before this, when I'm done with this, if you were like, I want that, I'll give you the opportunity to do that. That's easy. That's great. But if you're going to judge that, how do we know? Is this God? Is this me? Because could the devil give you impressions? Oh, yeah. He'll even use people. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. That's your personality part. Your spirit is different than that, and you have a physical body. So we are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. It's your spirit that's born again. It's your spirit when you get saved that gets connected to God. That's where your communion is, in your spirit. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions is going to help determine that, but you have to use wisdom from your spirit. Your spirit has the mind of Christ. So you can determine, is it something I just want? Have you ever had somebody do this? You just need to pray for me because I ate three pieces of cheesecake and I wanted a fourth piece of cheesecake and I believe God is just testing me. I think that's diabetes testing you. Sometimes it's just, no, that's just because, I mean, who doesn't like a good piece of cheesecake? I get it. Have you ever left the buffet feeling like, I should have stopped two plates ago? You don't have to raise your hand. Your wife, you raise your hand, don't you? Oh, we've all been there. Sometimes our flesh just wants something. So we have to call that judge in there. We have to umpire that. The word of God is the plumb line. That's what snaps the line. What you'll hear me all the time, make it line up with the word of God. Because everything must do that, because why? The word will divide it. You'll know whether it's God or whether it's not, because God will never go against his word. The word is the line. The people are not the line. The preacher is not the line. The word of God is the line. If the preacher's preaching the word of God, that's fine, but the word has to be the plumb line. Your spirit will never violate the word. It's the other parts. It's in total agreement with God since it came from God. But we'll talk ourselves out of it, won't we? With our mind, our will, and our emotions. Well, that can't be from God. Well, that doesn't make any sense. How many times does God do something that really doesn't make sense in the natural? If it comes from your spirit, it will conform to the word perfectly. If God gave it to you, it won't go against the word of God. If you don't know the word, then you're going to have a hard time figuring out whether this is God or whether it's not. Really, if you don't know the word, you probably don't care whether it's God or whether it's not. If you're young in the Lord, it would be good, I think, to you to get a mentor, just somebody to help you that is walking with the Lord. But make sure they are walking with the Lord, that God is number one, and that you see fruit in their life. That's one reason that we picked Pastor Gary and Drinda as our headship, because I heard a lot of people talk a lot of things, but I saw fruit, and I was like, sign me up. You don't want to go ask somebody, hey, what is a good marriage? And they've been married 17 times. I mean, well, you might think after 17, they might got it right. you got to start saying, okay, God, but God can lead you to that person to help you, to speak into your life. The desire is from God. It'll never go against the word. If it's a godly desire, it won't go against the word. So that's how you know. If it's something that right away is like, you'll know that's not God. And the enemy is at work. So then you know whether I'm going to cast that thought. I'm going to get rid of it because that's not a God thought. If it promotes anything selfish or is prideful or gives glory to others, it's probably not God. But from your spirit, it will glorify the Lord. We've seen a lot of things in ministry, a lot. And I'm sure there's more to see. And there's things that are happening that God is going to lead us into, and his spirit is going to show us, like, do this to help get these people free. And that will just happen. I mean, there's times I can't even tell you. It's like sometimes I go to places I'm not even planning on that. But yet God, does he not order your steps? Does he not get you in the place you need to be because you're the person that he wants to use? Because you are the hands and feet of Jesus. You know what we need? We need miracles today. We need to see them. You know, not just you, if you're believers, they were for the unbelievers. So when the unbelievers see that, they're like, shut the front door. Say whatever you want, but I want to see that. How'd that happen? Because they got questions. And that power surge, how did that just happen? There's things that I can't even begin to tell you about hearing the voice of God that I didn't even know was going on until now I look back and go, oh, from people that are just... I had another lady one time, she said, I lost my wallet. And she was an older lady and she was crying. She was on Social Security, had my entire month's, you know, money in there. And it was Christmas time and she was just crying. And there was a line at the return station at Walmart. She's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, well, we're just going to pray. And she was not in the mood to pray. She was too worried about, and I get it, but she came and she asked for help. And so, now listen, I'm trying to share something with you. She's asking for help. Remember, the Holy Spirit has to be invited. I am not the Holy Spirit, but he lives in me. Okay? So because she is asking, now it becomes a legal issue because I have agreed to help. So now that jurisdiction can help fall underneath me. So I said, we're gonna pray. You're going to find your wallet. We're going to believe you're going to find it. I just need to just pray. Okay, I didn't know what to pray. You know me in names. I don't even remember her first name. And I wanted to say, hey, Gladys. Her name could have been Millie. I have no idea. But I just said, we're going to pray. And so I just called her Sis. Sis, we're going to pray. We're going to bind worry, and we're going to believe God, and we'll find your wallet. Now, did I know where her wallet was?
No.
So here we are in Walmart, people walking everywhere. Line. We are in line, by the way. She was returning some stuff, and now she can't find her wallet, which had her money and receipts. So I started praying in tongues, not to myself. But wasn't screaming, but I wasn't really thinking, but I was just thinking, we need answers. And the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you pray perfectly. There's not many things I do perfectly outside of getting married. But, you know, pray perfectly. So I just started praying. You know, and then when I opened my eyes, there's nobody in line. The lady's going, next. We are the only one standing. Everybody else like, that's a zoo person right there. I'm getting out. So I'm just giving you a little tip for the holidays. You want to clear out the line? Pray in tongues. People will leave. But I got this picture of where her wallet was. I'm trying to remember all the story. Or she got a picture. The next thing you know, she found it. It was right out by the cart corral where she parked on the ground. We could see it. She went out and picked it right up. She's like, thank you, God. How did that happen? Listening, inviting, and acting. You see, I know this is cliche-ish, but seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. You have to believe what the Word says. The Word, again, that's the snap. That's the plumb line. Everything in the Bible is truth. So if that's true, and I have the Spirit of Christ, and we are identical, what he knows, I can know. You see, people aren't teaching that, but it's in the Word. That'll give you some answers that you've been praying about for years. And God could give you breakthrough. He's already provided for it. That's what happened to Kim and I. And some of this stuff, I mean, we grew up in a fellowship that didn't teach that. It was just, Well, God's teaching you a lesson because if you're sick, he's trying to teach you something. That's not God. That's not even biblical. And it was always something. There was some angle that, you know, that we would never have the answer, and we just have to trust. And God picks the prettiest flowers for his bouquet and all of that stuff. That's not God. But if we walk in his authority and we walk knowing, you'd be amazed. We'll start seeing things that we've only in our mind thought, oh, man, that'd be so awesome. What if God wants to use you for that to be awesome? What if you're in the restaurant and he says, you go over and pray for them? Well, the pastor's not here. God says, I didn't say anything about pastor. He just gave you that unction. How about that? What if you prayed for somebody and they got healed? I mean, I prayed for people I don't even know. I prayed for little kids that fell down at Cedar Point, were crying. Can I pray with them? And the Lord healed their skin or whatever right away. The kid would stop crying and the mother would be like, thank you. And I would just be like, God is so good. He loves you guys. And I would walk away. And I would say to myself, man, God, you're so great. What are you thinking today? What do you have that you're like, oh, I just want to know what to do about this. Well, he's got the answer. As sure as you're hearing me and as sure as I'm standing here. But we have to listen. We have to invite and we have to know that his word is always true. Always. Never any strain of not being truth. It's always true. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, in the name